Welcome to Season 2, Episode 28 of the Ragamuffin Preacher Podcast. My name is David Leo Schultz, and thank you for tuning into a podcast that's all about not just sharing the news that God loves you, but hopefully encouraging you to experience that love. And so this is really just a podcast kind of about my journey. I have conversations with friends, with people I look up to. Sometimes I just read my blog. Sometimes I just share my testimony. And for those of you that know me, know my view, a testimony isn't a biography. I'm not the lead character. I am just, God is the hero of my story. He's the lead character of my story. And I'm just a to use my friend's vernacular, I'm a witness to his work in my life. And today's just, last time was a little heavy. Yeah, it was a little heavy. And so the title alone should, you can scroll back and see what last episode's was. And on that note, I just want to thank some of my dear friends and supporters on here reached out to me, sent me a note, a Facebook message, a text, and it just felt really great to know the response was well received, and that you guys have my back, and that you care about me. And I think that goes beyond just fanfare, but that it just meant a lot to me. So I really appreciate that. So I thought, since the last time it was a little heavy, that it would be kind of fun to just have a fun one. And so a while back I wrote something that said my 95 thesis. So for those of you that know your church history, in the year 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis to the door of a church. And I wrote this thing, and had a lot of great feedback on it, but some people thought I was really trying to do a some type of correlation between what Luther wrote in 1517 to today, and that's not it at all. And yet, beyond the humor is a real heart of, I do think it is time, not for one person to do something, but for us all to kind of recognize that that this definitely feels like the labor pains of something new that's coming, and hopefully that's you know, not just a revival, but some type of reformation that unites us all together and makes the gospel available to all, because that's what the whole point was, in my opinion. So anyway, years ago, maybe 10 years ago, before kind of in the beginning, or at least what felt like maybe a better way to put it is the beginning of me kind of witnessing this mass exodus of the church. It probably started long before that. I just kind of, you know, got sick of hearing so many, often it was the leaders of churches going, man, the problem is all the people that leaving. And I just started wondering, I mean, I wonder if some of this discontentment is, if not coming from, or at least being allowed to by the Holy Spirit, if just, you know what, it's time for us to grow beyond the models of the church. It's time to grow beyond not the church. The church is always, it's a God's thing, not ours, right? But I think that we can get stuck, and it feels like we are stuck in a lot of ways. And as I've kind of said to people recently, oh, I love the church, I just often don't like how we do church. And for me, even recently, I've kind of had some breakthroughs about the church, and just really realizing, yet, you know, yes, it's not just two people in a coffee shop hanging out, but at the same time, you know, on the flip side of that, the yes and of that is, it very much is a relational thing. And and if you're not having any relationship in there, and if you're not a part of people's lives and they're not a part of yours, then you are just going on Sundays and Wednesdays. Then what is the point, right? So if that's all the church is to you or has been to you, you know, I encourage you, like me, to, you know, for the sake, the health of your own soul, to keep going down that journey to make sure you have a relational church. Yes, a Jesus-focused church. Yes, a Bible-preaching church. Yes, you're going to have to find one where you are, at least where you're at, you're on the same page theologically, or you'll always be in a case of unrest. But at the end of the day, yes, a church needs to have pastors and you know, shepherds and teachers and all of that. But the same day, you have to have relationships there. And if you don't have relationships there, you can have all the elements of a church and it ain't going to do a gosh darn thing. And I think I kind of came to that conclusion because I, you know, I'm almost 40 and I look back at my life and I went, okay, regardless of what I should say, where has the growth really been in my life? Where has the windows into my soul really been? And it's almost, rarely has it happened in church meeting. Rarely. Not that I haven't learned there, not that I haven't grown there, not that I haven't been challenged there, not that I haven't been encouraged there. But for the most part, most of the leaps in my soul, the real growth spurts in my journey have happened at a bar or at a coffee shop or at a late night conversation with an old college buddy or at a retreat with fellow ragamuffins or whatever it is. But it's been a relational experience. It's been when I've been vulnerable enough and soft enough to let people in and vice versa to really connect and to really see Christ in them and they see Christ in me. And you know, it's not about the sermon, it's not about the pastor, it's not about the best-selling book that you're going through or whatever, whatever, whatever. It tends to be when soul meets soul and you let God into each other's lives, that's when two or three are gathered in them and he shakes things up. So anyway, there, you know, with our current political culture, our current just really fractioned culture in general, with the mass fleeing from the church, with the discontentment. I, you know, this is a kind of a comedic blog that I wrote, but it at the same time, there does feel this this sense of, man, somebody needs to do something. And I don't think it's one person. I think it's we. And I think it's time for things to change, right? And I think that there's things that needed to be reformed in 1517, and I think that there was some things that we didn't reform in 1517, and then I think we were wrong about some things that needed to reform in us back in 1517, and now they've gotten out of control, and now we're the ones that need reformed. And so we're kind of three halves of what was always supposed to be a whole. And so anyway. I could go off of tangent, off a tangent, off a tangent of that. But this, you know, silly little thing, it's just jokes, people. All right. So for those of you that think I'm really trying to attack somebody or be mean to somebody, I went over it once again to try to, oh, that did sound a little harsh or antagonistic to a specific person. I do mention names in here, but again, let me say up front, I'm not trying to be, you know, generally humorous in a public way and not necessarily attacking. And if I felt like that, I tried to change it, tried to do my best. I'm sure it'll still piss some people off, but hey, what are you going to do? But at least you know my intentions and what I tried to do. But beyond the names, beyond the jokes, there is the all this does point to, man, I think that, you know, we really need to take a closer look at of not being the church, but how we do church, and the models in which we do church. And also just really getting back, frankly, to Christ and to love. And I don't mean that in like just a general, non-specific hippie type of like, hey man, just love, dude. But like, this is the purpose. God is love. The body of Christ is, we come together. The transformation process is to make us into the fruits of the Spirit, right? And so that's the temperature we need to take in our church with us as a community of believers is like, are we loving people? Are we loving our enemies? Are we building bridges? Are we caring for the poor, the sick, the imprisoned? Like, are we doing this? And no matter what theological lists we have, no matter what our doctrinal statements are, if we're not loving people well, then no matter if we feel really good about our doctrinal statement, we actually haven't obey that scripture that says keep your doctrine closely. Because if the doctrine of loving your neighbor isn't there, then you've missed the whole freaking point, right? So anyway, I was just going to launch into it and I got on all these tangents, forgive me. So once I get going, that'll be that, and then that'll be that for this episode of the podcast. So let me just do the announcement now. Like, need your help. If you want to support this ministry and me being on mission, then go to patreon.com/DavidLeoSchultz, and you can click on that link in the show links. And that's a way to support me on an ongoing basis, even if it's just a couple bucks a month. It really helps support me and pay my bills so I can pretty much be a missionary and make movies and do ministry projects and to preach the love of God to anybody and everybody. So through movies and mission projects. And so that, and we also have over 30 grand in debt for the St. Francis movie. So if you want to give towards that, we are a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so you get a tax deduction. So you can send me an email if you want to just do a check at david@ragamuffintv, and you'd make the check out to Color Green Ministries. Or an easier way, online way to do it, is to find our St. Francis movie page on GoFundMe. One-time donations, you can do that to the ministry, or if you want to do to Patreon, that does funnel through our ministry nonprofit as well, so you can get a tax deduction there as well. So support. And for perks for donating through Patreon, you can get things like a free membership to Ragamuffin TV, so you can watch our movies like Ragamuffin Brennan, our TV series, which I love, Lost Son, anytime you want. Also, if you haven't been paying attention, go to our YouTube channel page. Again, that's not our premium channel, ragamuffintv.com, but our YouTube page, we have started giving away all of our ministry tool content for free, meaning sermons, interviews, house concerts, devotionals, stuff that used to be on our Ragamuffin TV channel. We are just or me specifically, I just felt led and stirred to, you know what, all of this stuff, let's keep our premium channel for our stories and big movies and big projects, the stuff that requires actors and production value and all those things. But in terms of our ministry tools, like interviews, whether it be with James Brian Smith or Richard Rohr or whoever, or sermons by Dave Mullins, Phil Anderson, all these great guys, let's just give all that stuff away for free. So it's going to take us a while because we have a lot of content. And you pretty much just have me because the rest of the team is working on the movie. So, that being said, the guys are just killing it on the movie. The JB, our editor, Dave Holacek, we met yesterday to go over visual effects for the movie. They've been super supportive of the film. They've been the only ones to see it. And they're just taking it to the next level. I'm so excited for everybody to see the movie. So on the faith piece, just, man, pray for me. If I'm just really honest, everybody's been giving me lots of encouragement and compliments about this journey that they've clued into over the last 6-7 months, where I've, you know, I just provide for my family through the Patreon and some donors, but less than half of what we need, and the rest is Uber, which is why we're trying to raise money and put all this 30 to 40 grand on credit card debt to make the movie. And it has a great testimony to it. I've been witnessing God continue to provide, but lately, man, we're down to the wire here, and I pay 800 to 900 bucks a month for credit card payments, and so things are getting a little scary, to be really honest. So just pray for my faith. And then I'm also, and I mean this sincerely, I'm trying to not get caught up with the worry in the anxiety over the business piece of it and paying the bills piece of it, because I really want my heart and my attention to be on praying for what, it's really just hope, right? I'm just really hoping and praying that God uses this movie to shake things up a bit, and to, because in my opinion, in terms of the Holy Gospel, and not just a salvation antidote that you pray and you get saved and you know where your eternity is and blah 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 blah, even fire insurance and all of that stuff, but I mean literally, like, what I think the gospel was at least yes and intended to do in our lives is to bring us freedom now, joy now, peace now, life with him now, living and walking and following Christ now in the gospel. And not that it's just some intangible idea that I can take and put on a bookshelf, but that it's literally oxygen for my soul, and I'm denying myself daily and I'm following Christ daily. And and that type of holy gospel that has been preached for 2,000 years, that in some ways, in some at least evangelical circles, that's entirely lost. And so it's one of the first movies, I think, that really, because we're telling St. Francis' story and because that is connected to Christ and Jesus' story, and obviously we have little Easter eggs in there about, you know, Rich Mullins and Brennan, and because all of these guys led me to Christ. And but anyway, I'm really excited for what I think the movie can do in people's lives, especially for ragamuffins who go, okay, I'm starting to believe God loves me. Now what? Well, this is a good now what. And for those that have their faith is just kind of not nominal, they're just nominal Christians that just life is, yeah, I got Jesus and life's about me and my retirement plans and my vacations and this and that, this will shake things up a bit. So I'm really excited, really, really excited. So anyway, that's all that fun stuff. And now, so sit back, relax, and listen to my 95 theses. So if there was some door right now that I could get with every seeker-sensitive church, every entertainment-based church, every attractional-based ministry church, every know-it-all church, every church that says, this is the exact way to heaven, come this way, we know exactly what you should believe, we know exactly how you should perform, we know it all, we've got the only way, this kind of commercial-based Christianity, this cliche-based Christianity, the prosperity gospel churches, the shame filled churches, the ones that won't even let God into their doors because God's not even good enough for them to get in those churches, all of the, and to be honest, that's all of us, that's all of our churches at times are like this. A part of seeking to be humble is us all coming together and say we can all lose our way at times, but these are the churches in that Pharisee spirit in me, which I've confessed to recently and seen in myself, like with all of us, it is time for us to recognize the crap that's in each other, but in all of us, and nail a 95 theses to the door. So here's my attempt at that. Number one, no using the Bible as a weapon. Number two, no bringing shame in Jesus' name. Number three, the church is no longer allowed to be a business. Number four, the worship service is no longer allowed to be a concert. Number five, the worship service is no longer allowed to be a concert unless Bono goes to your church. Number six, the pastor is no longer allowed to be a celebrity. Number seven, the pastor is no longer allowed to be a best-selling New York Times author, ... or pretend to be. Number eight, you are no longer allowed to say who is a Christian or who isn't, who is saved or who is not saved, who is holy or not holy. Number nine, no more worrying about building bigger churches. Instead, you have to worry about building bigger Christians. Number 10, no more using Jesus to sell your music, your movie, your book, or your product. Hashtag time's up. Number 11, no more using Jesus to sell your music, movie, book, or product unless it helps you make money off of Christians. Oh, wait. Number 12, you are no longer allowed to say your interpretation of the Bible is a better one. Number 13, unless, of course, yours is the better one. Number 14, you are no longer allowed to say your denomination is the better one. Number 15, see number 13. Number 16, you are no longer allowed to call yourselves newsboys anymore since you keep changing band members. Number 17, you are no longer allowed to say your political party is the Christian party. Number 18, all churches must bring back the church potluck. Number 19, you are no longer allowed to spend more money on the amenities of your church building than you do on the poor and marginalized in your city. I'll repeat. You are no longer allowed to spend more money on the amenities of your church building than you do on the poor and marginalized in your city. Number 20. No more church greeters. Number 21. If you believe Donald Trump is God's chosen one, then I have a great pyramid scheme, I mean business proposition for you. Number 22. No more TBN. Number 23. No more VIP parking in your church parking lots. I'm looking at you, prominent prosperity gospel preachers in Texas. Number 24. All churches are required to have a puppet ministry. Number 25. No more biblical billboards in the Bible Belt. You know, like the ones that you drive by on the highway that say, if you don't want to burn in the lake of fire, honk three times. No one's driven by one of those and gone, yes, I'm suddenly convicted. I want Jesus now. Number 26, no more blaming the people leaving your church on the people leaving your church. Number 27, John MacArthur must earn a master's degree in women's studies before he's allowed to preach again. Hashtag Beth Moore. Number 28, if you were responsible for a mega church having to close its doors and burn to the ground, or to use another metaphor, sinking to the bottom of the ocean like the Titanic, you must wait longer than 5 minutes before starting another one. Number 29, never worship Satan or believe in the prosperity gospel. Number 30, no more condemning people, only those lousy, self-righteous, judgmental piece of crap Pharisees who care more about your church attendance than your pain. Number 31, no, really, you can't say you love God and hate people. Pharisees, please forgive me. Sorry, love you. Number 32, no more being the only person who makes sounds and comments while the pastor's preaching like, uh-huh, yep, that's right, mm-hmm. Number 33, you're only allowed to say blessings once per day. Number 34, anyone caught saying bless their heart will not be allowed into heaven. Sorry, no take backs. Number 35, no one under 80 years old is allowed to say God bless you. Number 36, from now on, no one is allowed to refer to worship music as contemporary, traditional, or music. Number 37, the Power Team will make a comeback tour under their new name, Mark Driscoll and the Seeker Insensitivity Team. Number 38, if your name is found written in the Book of Life or Billy Graham's journal, you'll be allowed into heaven. Number 39, if Christianity is ever up for date, send Timothy Keller. Even when he's wrong, he sounds right. Number 40, racism, homophobia, sexism, or the like will no longer be tolerated in Christian churches. I'm looking at you, Bible Belt. Number 41, everyone is allowed to deconstruct their faith for a maximum of 12 months, as long as when their faith is reconstructed, they agree with everything that Reformed pastors say you should believe. If you do not believe what they believe, your name will go down on one of their sticky pads in their office that says at the very top, I love John Calvin. And on there will be your handwritten name with a little arrow pointed to something that says, predestined since the beginning of time for destruction. Number 42, any church leadership team that is still okay during their service to have someone say, now take a minute to say hi to someone seated near you, will be shot. No questions asked. Number 43, no one is allowed to teach the Book of Revelation or the story of Noah's Ark during a kid's Sunday school class. Number 44, no more Carmen. Number 45, anyone caught pretending to speak in tongues will not be allowed in heaven. Number 46, any more pastors that use culturally relevant puns for your sermon titles, like The Stranger Things of God, will have to sit next to Judas Iscariot at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Number 47, any coffee bar in your church lobby must be a licensed Starbucks. No exceptions. Number 48, no more saving seats with hymn books or offering envelopes. If you do this, you too will be shot. Number 49, no more flags, ever. No more flags. Yes, Debbie, we're talking to you. Number 50, no more scaring people into salvation with dressing up like Satan, having members of your church dress up like demons, and decorating your church like hell. You know, like Hell Night? Hell no. Okay. Number 51, all Sunday school / kids church lessons must use felt figures and flannel boards. Number 52, Francis Chan must feel God calling himself to something different every 6 months, or he's not really hearing from God. Number 53, grace isn't a license to sin, but wherever sin abounds, grace abounds even more. You do the math. Number 54, proof texting is now considered heresy. Number 55, the amount of repentance that you need to be officially saved will be hereby determined by a board including John MacArthur, John Piper, one of the thieves on the cross, and the woman caught in adultery. That seems fair. Number 56, no more Kirk Cameron movies. Number 57, wine or grape juice? Pick a lane and stay in it. And whoever's idea it was to start offering gluten-free saltine crackers will get their ass kicked. No questions asked. Number 58, the words in red mean that Jesus meant what he said. Number 59, Shane Claiborne is a real Christian, and I'm not sure about the rest of you. Number 60, WWJD, probably not buy a private jet in the name of ministry when 2/3 of the world is hungry, just saying. Number 61, if Jesus turns out to be anything like Pat Robertson, switch to Buddhism. Number 62, all churches are now required to have keto-friendly substitutes for communion type, like cauliflower crackers. Number 63, if there is one more movie where a Christian singer is discovered by Amy Grant, I'm quitting Christianity, or at the very least, filing a copyright complaint. Number 64, Jesus didn't command anyone to be theologically correct. He commanded you to love. Number 65, all baptismal pastors are now required to be CPR certified. Number 66, on Halloween, all Christians must watch those rapture movies made in the 1970s. Remember those? I still can't sleep at night. Number 67, just because you have a bumper sticker that says Jesus is my co-pilot does not mean you qualify for the carpool lane. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. Number 68, no one is allowed to call themselves a Christian anymore, so the only way to see what type of tree she or he is will be by looking at their fruit. Simple enough. Number 69, you are no longer allowed to say the Bible has the authority in my life. You must now, and are required to say, my interpretation of the Bible has the authority in my life. Number 70, the Holy Spirit feels like the forgotten member of the Trinity, end quote, the Holy Spirit. Quote, Ringo is the Beatles, what the Holy Spirit is to the Trinity, end quote, the Holy Spirit. That was number 71. Number 72, if cussing is a sin, then everyone needs to throw their King James Bible in the trash because that damn thing says ass a whole lot. Number 73, no more lying to your pastor that you listen to their podcast. It's officially a sin. Number 74, your church is probably going to die if you're still marketing to people on MySpace. Number 75, the end of times, quote, end quote, Christians are, you know, like the crazy family member that you try to avoid at family reunions. Period. Number 76, America gave you the right to bear arms. Jesus did not. Just a little reminder. Number 77, I heard they are still making VeggieTales. Why? Number 78, quote, who would win in a fist fight against Billy Graham or Mother Teresa? Doesn't matter. All those Catholics are going to hell anyway. End quote. My grandma. Number 79, remember when everyone was talking about Kanye being a Christian for 4 solid days straight? Number 80, I wish Einstein were still alive to help me out how to figure out how to save Christianity from that bullcrap. Number 81, Kirk Cameron can do one more movie. It will be called Kirk Cameron Saves Christianity. Insert a picture of Kirk Cameron helping Jesus to stand up. Number 82, Donald Miller must legally change his name to Donald Story or Story Miller or Story Story. Number 83, Audio Adrenaline, you are no longer allowed to call yourselves Audio Adrenaline if you keep changing band numbers. See Newsboys. Number 84, Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. Number 85, if you don't believe the way I do, you are going to hell. Number 86, Bob Goff must change his name to Bob Does. Number 87, guys, I'm still here, end quote the Holy Spirit. Number 88, the atonement theory is only a theory, one of many. I know, I didn't know that either. I know, no one told me. Why didn't anybody tell me? I know, it's so crazy. Number 86, products are no longer allowed to be called Christian, so no more calling it Christian music, Christian movies, or Christian tampons. All right, we all know that's not the blood of Christ on there. I'm going to hell for that one. Number 90, Jesus wasn't white, end quote, white evangelicals. Number 91, love the giver of gifts more than the gifts. Number 92, Jesus loves you so you don't have to hate. Number 93, Jesus said to love your neighbor, not to shame him because he doesn't look like, act like, believe like, think like you. But you are right, you are better, sarcasm included. Number 94, still here, end quote, the Holy Spirit. And number 95, and the Newsboys just replaced their lead singer again. Well, that's it. That's my 95. What's your 95? I don't know if it's your 95 or my 95, but we definitely need a new 95. Oh, Jesus, save us from ourselves. May we all come to know that you love everybody, each and all. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next time.